we would just sit here and talk about our time at Grace Church, because there's so many blessings, and we've been here different time periods and for different amounts of time, but we just thought that would be a great way just to share our love for what God's doing here, what he's done, and what he's even doing now in our lives and in this group. I hope nobody here is going to bark like they did in the first service if you were here. So if you're excited, don't bark. I don't know. He said he was a friend of HB's, but HB said he was distracted, and so I don't think he was a friend. But anyway, so let's just begin with John. When did you arrive here?
Oh, I got here in 1999. So that's when I came, and then immediately came to join Ayers. Never went in anywhere else, and never stopped coming from that particular point on. My first, just kind of a little background. My first exposure to John MacArthur was in 1980. When John MacArthur came to our seminary, which was Grand Rapids Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, to speak. And I had never heard of John MacArthur up to this particular point. I maybe had seen a few things out there, but not heard very much. He didn't have any books out except for a little teeny book that was one of the first things he ever published was Found God's Will, if you remember that little booklet. And that was there, and so he preached in our chapel service there at the seminary, and man, we were blown away. This is amazing. This is exactly what we're looking for as seminarians. And so I'm sitting with a group of friends at that particular time, and I say, you know, I wonder if that guy would want to go out to lunch with us. All right. Not a shot. The guy said, no, I don't think so. No, he's a busy guy. So anyhow, I just kind of wandered up and said, John, pleased to meet you. My name is John Street, and there's a bunch of us who'd like to take you to lunch. Are you available? Sure, absolutely. I was blown away. I'm going, great. So we took him to lunch at that particular time in 1980, and it was the longest lunch I think I ever had. It was about 3 hours long, and the waitress there at the restaurant was kind of, come on, are you going to move on? Are you going to go? And we sat there and talked about ministry, the ministry of the Word of God, exegesis, you know, pastoring and caring for people. We talked about that during that entire time, and we had a great time. And my next exposure then was 5 years later, because then I was already out being an associate pastor at a church, and the senior pastor of the church wanted to come to the Shepherd's Conference out here for the first time. So in 1985, he and I came out to the Shepherd's Conference, and we stayed. We were placed with George and Ann Crawford in their home. And that's where George and I became really good friends at that particular point. And we stayed in their home. And the Shepherd's Conference at that particular time was probably, I don't know, about 800 people. So we were like a pea in a can there in the main auditorium, all right, bouncing around. And in it, but we had a great time, and that happened to be the Shepherd's Conference that they announced that John was going to become the president of Los Angeles Baptist College at that particular Shepherd's Conference. And so that was the big announcement at that particular time, and that came out of nowhere. We didn't know that was really going to happen. And so I went on to pastor plant a church and so on for several years, and that's what eventually brought me out here in 1999 was the fact that they needed a faculty to teach in the area of biblical counseling. And you understand, at that particular time, there were no fully accredited schools in the country, to my knowledge, nowhere in the world, that taught biblical counseling. There was none. It didn't exist. And John had just gotten rid of the entire psych department at LABC. All right, which became the Master's College, which was a very unpopular move. He put his neck on the line when he did that, because that was the largest major. All right, that was the biggest income coming into the college at that time. And but he says, no, we're going to do biblical counseling. And so that was something that occurred out of nowhere, in the sense that no other school had ever done that before. And now you got schools all over the country doing it. And it's really interesting because most of those schools are using our curriculum. But you'll see all these schools popping up, and they've asked us for our curriculum if they could use it. They may call their classes a little bit different name, but the content of them is basically the same. And so, but when, the first time that they asked me to come out and teach, we were in a good church. It was growing. Things were going well. I turned him down. I said, no, 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 you know, I'm going to die as a pastor here in a church. And but the guy that came out was a good friend of mine. His name was Tim Turner. Some of you remember Tim and his wife, who were part of Join Heirs, by the way. And Tim was here for a year, and then he went golfing with Stuart Scott and died on the golf course. That's why I do not golf with Stuart Scott. All right.
Florida.
Yeah. So, yeah, and he died. And then they came back and asked me a second time. And you never want to leave a church when it's going bad. You want to be remain faithful there. But our church is going so well at that particular point. I said, yeah, this is one of the best times to leave if we're going to leave and go out and do this, because I don't want this biblical counseling thing that's going on at Masters to die. I don't want that to happen. And so we made that decision, and then we moved out in 1999. That's how we got here. Yeah, and of course, I had already known John. I was not real close personal friends, but I will tell you this little bit. She and I tearfully made this decision together. We are kneeling.
He's
by
pointing at his wife. Just
yeah,
so you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah. Pointing at my wife, and she's my girlfriend too.
Yeah.
We're kneeling on our near our couch, and we had a light blue flowered couch. And to make this decision, we were praying, and there was a puddle of tears. I mean, it was, I'm not exaggerating, it was all over the place. As soon as we prayed, we stood up, got a phone call, and it was John MacArthur. John, we really need you guys to come out here and teach biblical counseling. Are you willing to come? I said, just 2 minutes ago, we made this decision. How did you know that? He said, I didn't, but the Lord did. 2 minutes later, and so that's when we started putting things together, and that's how we got here.
That's amazing. Now, when did you come here, Dave? You've been here and then went away and came back.
That's right. That's right.
You were with us and went away from us.
Yeah, that's. I love hearing that story. That's a great story.
I'm kidding.
No, I'm talking about John. That's a great story.
Oh, okay.
Great story. Wow. Yeah, I can't. Mine is all unmerited favor, just purely God's grace that landed me here at the Master's College. I went to a college fair, a Christian college fair, with a good friend of mine. He was the brains. In fact, he became an orthopedic surgeon, and he didn't have anybody to go with him to this church that was hosting all these Christian colleges. And I said, I'll go with you. He asked me if I would go, and I said, yes, I'll go with you. But, you know, I don't think I'm college material at all. So I just went with him reluctantly, but just to hang out with my brother here. And that was you know, when was that, 95, 96. And in any case, I said to myself, okay, I'll talk to somebody there that represents a college if they're nice to me. That's real subjective, really. real. Don't listen to this part here. I mean, this is a subjective way of handling it. But I said, okay, fine. I'll pick up pamphlets, flyers, any of their material if they're nice to me. Well, I picked up two. One was from Fresno Pacific University, and the other one was the Master's College. Those were the two nice people out of 20-plus Christian colleges, according to David. And I went to Fresno and checked it out on a college view weekend, and I thought, this is great. I have no clue who are the Mennonites, but I'm just going to go. I attended the history of the Mennonites, and I'm like, I'm lost in this class. I don't know what they're talking about. But, you know, there was a campfire on Friday night, and it's kumbaya, so I'm all about that. So, yes, I'll go to that. This is a school for me. And then, reluctantly, my sister said, you know, you ought to go check out the other one. No, why would I go? I already chose. This is the one I want to go to. Fine, I'll go. So I went to the Master's College, College Review Weekend, and it blew me out of the water. Just incredible. Loved it even more. And I remember flying back to Sacramento, just like, how am I, Lord, you're going to have to make this possible. So I was about $12,000 short, speaking of numbers. Back in the day, that was a lot, it seemed, and didn't think it was going to be possible. I was $12,000 short for Fresno Pacific. I said, well, Lord, if you really want me to go to Masters, you got to make it possible. How is it going to be? Well, I received the letter and $3,000 short. So I did the math, and that's why I went to the Masters College. It wasn't because I did my homework, sadly enough. And I was sort of getting into Mennonite history, but that's all I knew about Fresno Pacific. But I went to Masters because they offered me more money than Fresno Pacific.
And they were nice. So we know all about your mentality now. Yeah. That's very interesting. If
totally.
You're nice and have money,
the
he
pure
likes
grace of God, unmerited favor, not because I did. And I kept hearing stories about, like, John MacArthur this and John MacArthur that. And who is this John MacArthur? Well, then he came to speak in chapel, and he spoke on true worship. Oh, John 4. If you haven't listened to that series, you got to listen to true worship. Amazing. And then the study Bible came out. I got a study Bible. I mean, I traded in my living Bible, which is 86% the Word of God. And Dr. Thomas.
Too generous.
Dr. Thomas put a little, you know, he classified each version. And he came out with living Bible was 86% the Word of God. And that was me. That was freshman year. And everyone kept using big words, and I didn't understand. What's presupposition? You know, like, what is that? And I was lost in my Doctrines of Grace class. I was just lost. And they took me in. It was pretty amazing. So unmerited favor of God. And God has been so kind to me. I mean, placed me at the college where God knew that I needed to be at. There I met my wife. I mean, the trajectory of my life has been totally changed because of God's grace, and not only saving me, but also placing me where I went to. Because as John even said, you are a product of the institution that you are attending, that you go. So welcome to Master Seminary. That's great. You probably knew about John more than I did back in the day. So praise God. I mean, God has been so gracious to me. And it's because of his grace that I landed at the Master's College, and the rest is history, just how the Lord has worked. But it's because of his grace, not because of, I did pray, but the money came in for receive all those grants, and I was able to go to the Master's College.
The Lord had his hand on you.
So what's my story? Thank you for asking. So this ministry of Grace Church, specifically through John MacArthur, changed everything. First and foremost, it was at a time in my life, this was back in 1991, maybe, I was lost, completely dead in my sin, and an emotional place of such heavy darkness that I was not knowing what I was going to do with myself. I was teaching acting, which was what I did for a living, but everything else was just everything, relationships, everything was just broken. And so I think I've told you this in my testimony, but I decided one day to clean out my closet because I was trying to clean out my life, you know, and so I thought, I'll start with my closet, you know. And in my closet, I found a military uniform that a guy had let me borrow because I was pursuing acting. I was doing military roles. Aaron remembers this because you're part of the story, actually, which is ironic and providential, I'll tell you. And so I thought, oh, my goodness, I've got to give this guy's army uniform back.
And so I've never done this before or since, but I called the place we used to work at. It was a fish restaurant in Santa Monica, no longer there. And trying to find him, they said, well, he doesn't work here anymore. So I just kept finding, and I found him in El Segundo. And I said, Dean Richardson, which is also, I think I see, yeah. And that I said, if there's any way we can meet up, because I have your shirt, your uniform, and we should just get back together. And he goes, great, let's do that. And so we met at this place, and I went in there completely thinking, I had not known and did not know that he had, God had saved him. He had become a Christian. He was going here at Grace Community Church. And so he started to share the gospel with me for like 4 hours, which was, you know, just, I mean, and I, in fact, we switched restaurants. We went from one place to a different place, and he was still talking. And he told me my dog was not going to go to heaven. So I thought, that's over. That's done. And said, you know, this obviously was nice to talk to you, but this is dumb. And he also told me that there was no way that I could. I said, what do you do? How do you become a Christian? You're telling me Jesus is God? Never knew that. Grew up in the church. He was telling me about the inspiration of the scripture and all of this. I didn't know any of it. I was a new ager. I was contemplating my navel for 2 hours a day. And meaning like meditating. And so he finally said, you know, Tom, can you come over and meet my wife next week? And I've always been open. I've always wanted to hear things. And, you know, maybe coming from an acting perspective, I just wanted to understand other people's perspectives so I could play them if I ever got a part like them. And I want to be you, but only if they pay me. But so in that, we're different in that way. So I went over, met his wife, and we were walking around, and Dean said, Tom, he goes, I think you're searching, but you're not saved. And I didn't even know what that meant. But I knew it was bad, and it felt like he hit me in the stomach with a 2x4. And so I said, you know, Dean, love you, but don't want to be with you, and see you later, and it was nice, and here's your shirt, you know, and go. A week later, I think it was like a week later, and I get in the mail, again, this has never happened to me, I get a book sent to me by Dean Richardson, The Gospel According to Jesus by John MacArthur. And I didn't know who John MacArthur was. I didn't know. I didn't read. I read scripts. And for some reason, the first page, he said, there are many paths to darkness, one to light, or something like that, Dean. And so I started reading it. I read this book, which is about lordship salvation. It is a theological book, and I'm not a theological guy at the time. And halfway through the book, I'm going, oh, I'm not going to heaven. I'm a sinner, and I don't know Jesus. And the subtitle of that book is What It Means to Follow Jesus. So I'm convicted, and so I don't know if I ever told you this, but one time I bought a Bible because I thought I should have one. But I figured now I should get a bigger Bible. So I bought a bigger Bible, NIV study Bible, you know, big print, needed it even back then. And so I start perusing the Bible and comparing it with the book and making it, this is what he said, is that true? And going to the Bible and trying to figure it out. And about a month in, I think it was a month in, I completely just gave in. And again, no one's talking to me. It's just this book, this guy, and the Bible. And I repented. And it was like my whole life. And I've thought of this so many times. I just gave up my whole life, everything. It's like they say when you die, sometimes people say my life passed before my eyes. My life passed before my eyes. So I was dying. And so I repented. And so I called Dean up and I said, Dean, you're not going to believe this, but I got saved. He's like going, he's such a delicate guy. You know, he'd sit there and go, well, you need to get a church. Now you need to go to a church. Find a church. And I go, well, thanks for holding my hand here. You know, so where do I go? So I went to Santa Monica. I was living in Culver City area, Venice. And finally, I didn't find a church. I couldn't find one. All of them were fine. I mean, they were probably great. But I was looking for a preacher that would explain the Bible like the guy who wrote the book did. Like, I just needed somebody to explain it to me. At least, you know, they were very happy and probably biblical, but I didn't know. So anyway, finally, Dean calls me and goes, how's your search going? I go, can't find a church. He goes, well, then come to my church. It's Grace Community Church. It's 20 miles away, but, you know, I think you'll like it. And I go, no, 20 miles, that's too far. I'm not going to do that. Even though people come now from San Diego to come to Grace Church, but that's too far. And he goes, well, you know, the guy that wrote that book is our pastor. And I'm going, McFly, why didn't you tell me? Like, hello? Yeah, I mean, I've been miserable. So I came, yeah, I came here, and Dean met me. And I remember this. I was just explaining this to somebody just a few moments ago because they asked me the same question. I remember just being here, and there were thousands of people. I didn't even notice. I didn't think about it. I felt like it was this guy, John MacArthur, and me. I didn't feel like there was anybody else in the room. I felt like he was talking to me. If he turned his head a little bit, I turned my head a little bit. You know, I'm just like, what do you want from me? And that changed everything. And people go, ah, Grace Church is too big. I go, too big? Like, what are you thinking about? This is food. I needed something to heal me, you know. And so that was 1992. And so I've been here 34 years since that time. And I remember just everything was, you know, and John MacArthur, of course, is our spiritual father, and I loved him, and I still love him. But it was not just him. It was the church. It was the Bible study. So Dean, and then I'll be done. Dean says, hey, Tom, you need to go to Bible study now. And I go, that sounds cultic. I go, what do you mean? And I go, what do you do? You know, I really did. I didn't think, that's weird. And he goes, well, we go on a Friday night, and we show up ahead of time, and we pray, and then we have some singing, and then we have a teaching, and then we break up into application groups, and then we have fellowship at the end with some food. And I go, how long does that take? You know, and he goes, well, it starts at 7, ends about 10. I'm going, nah, man, that's like, because I was used to Friday nights being totally different. And and then he said, he was such a, again, delicate guy. I love Dean. He goes, oh, so Jesus died for you, but you're not willing to go to a Bible study. I go, well, you put it like that. I guess I've got to go. Thank you for not coercing me or, you know. So, and this is where you come in, Aaron, which is so funny. So I show up to this Bible study. Aaron is a missionary. He and Susan were there. I think you weren't married yet. No, you weren't there yet. So you were at UCLA studying linguistics. And so I come in, and this is, I can't believe I said this. I wouldn't know I said it unless you told me. I was introducing myself to people. I go, hi, my name's Tom Patton, but you don't need to know that because I'm never coming back. Is that what I said? And I mean, like, I'm thinking, like, what a snooty guy, you know. You don't need to know me because I'm not coming back. And
pastor of pastoral care.
Well, not even that. I ended up being there every Friday night for 10 years. I became the shepherd of the Bible study. And so it just started, you know, so Grace Church, John MacArthur, major influence, of course, to this day. I probably watch a sermon of his every day, like watch it while I'm at the gym on my stationary bike. But then it's also the people. And, of course, I met my wife here in Bible study. And Lori was saved 2 years after me. And then we were both baptized here, and our children have been raised here. And so Grace Community Church, out of the 70 years, I've been here 34 of them, and they have gone by so fast, and it's just been an amazing thing to see what God has done, even above and beyond Pastor John, because now that he's gone, you still see God sustaining us, and more so than sustaining us, like really thriving. I mean, the service this morning was just amazing, and you know, and HB, other than that one guy who was meaning well, but he was barking, it just, you know, HB came down afterwards, and he goes, can you give me some tips about staying focused? And I go, are you not focused? He goes, well, that guy. And I go, oh, well, he's not going to be here next service. We talked him, you know, off the ledge. Basically, all we said is, can you please not do that? It's distracting people. And he goes, sure, I'll try. He said he stopped shouting, and he was just wiggling his hand. So he was just very animated. But so that's been, yes, everything that's been good to me has happened at this place through the ministry, the Word of God, as preached by faithful men. I was in his seminary class when I was in seminary. That's where I learned a lot about counseling, everything I know, and met wonderful men like you. And the seminary story is a whole different story, but that's kind of a tangent. But yeah, God's been very faithful. That's great. So I want to hear, is it okay if we hear some stories from you? Like things that you might want to share with us. Is that okay, John? And, Dave?
There are a lot of stories out there.
There are a lot of stories, and it really isn't about
You know, people say, you know, oh, you guys think Grace Community Church is the greatest church in the world. Well, yes, but it's not just that. It's that there's no place like Grace. I mean, you can go to a different church. There's a lot of great churches. But there's no place like Grace. There's just no place like it. I just think it's the most unique place in the world. And what we do here, and even, like I said, the music today and the history is just astounding to me. It's astounding.
Let me just say on that note, I think just talking to John Luca, I think a little bit this morning about this, is sometimes you don't realize what you have until you leave. Take it from someone who has left and come back. You know, sometimes we don't appreciate what God has given to us. Grace is a gift, grace of God, but grace, the people of God here at Grace Community Church. There will be no other time like this in your life, in this season of life. The seminary students are always reminded of that. And yet, I understand the tendency is to get busy, focused on a lot of things. But you don't understand just every week how much of a gift it is to be with the people of God, to be saved, to be called into his church, and to gather with the people of God to worship the one true God. It's amazing to think about that. So let's not take that for granted and understand and know that there's this our church body is very unique. And you don't have to leave it in order for you to appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going to do a seminar in a few weeks. It's got a really catchy title. It's called How to Destroy Your Marriage. So I think a lot of people are going to show up to that one. And but one of the...
We already know how to do that, all of us.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Like, yeah. Just be yourself and don't do anything to change.
No. That's right.
But my last point has to do with really the best way to destroy your marriage is, or one of them is, just stop being plugged into a faithful church. Just stop doing that. And all of a sudden, things fall apart. And all of a sudden, you know, you go, I don't know why things are so rocky in my marriage. And you go, well, maybe it's because you're built on rocky soil. But also it could be because you're not surrounding yourself with people that love God, love his word. Like every Sunday, like even when it starts and I'm about to go up and kind of open the service and the music and everything, I think to myself, this has been 34 years. I am so grateful I'm here, you know, because, and it's not just because I get to have a role in this. Like, I'm just so great I'm here at this church for any reason. So, yeah, we need to be blessed because we are. So, questions from, or just a little anecdote, something about Grace Church. And, of course, you don't have to, but, yeah.
I'm not gonna.
You and I are funny with hands. So I'm about to give you. Yeah. We shake
there's
hands.
A whole
and
story there.
There's a story there. Yeah.
Yeah. Ask him later. Doug and I. Well, I came to Grace in 19. I don't know, a long time ago. And I didn't come for any spiritual reason. I actually followed a really cute boy from my high school here, who, by the way, wasn't him. But
oh.
Yeah.
He's much cuter, but yeah. That guy doesn't exist. Well, he exists, but you know what I mean. But that's why I came.
Yeah, that's going to be the last week. No, I'm kidding.
I did not come for spiritual reasons, but God had other plans. That's my point. And soon after that, I started inviting everybody I knew in the West Valley where I came from that there is this really good church. And then I met this guy, invited him, and we married, blah, blah, blah. So, and we
blah,
still are married.
Blah,
and
blah.
Today is the anniversary of our very first date.
Oh, okay. All right.
50 some odd years ago. Anyway, that's not about that. But we got married and we joined a class called Bereans, which was the predecessor to Joint Heirs. It was pastored by Jack Nemeth. And they were the young marrieds until the young marrieds started getting older and older and older. And then somehow Jack Nemeth left and we transitioned to Joint Heirs. And we've been a part of it since then. But we took a break. We had 5 pregnancies and 4 children in 8 years. So we took a little break because I'm like, honey, the wheels come off the bus when we get home from... It's wild in the Bradley household. We cannot do these mornings. So we took, what, 7 years? Seven years where we just came to church. And we were not involved in a fellowship group for our own sanity, I thought, until one of our friends had a death in the family. And we were helping them plan the funeral. We were still very involved at Grace, but we were helping them plan the funeral. And it made us, their the person that had died was like us. They went to the church, but they weren't involved in anything. And we looked at each other, and we just said, oh, my goodness, if we have a tragedy, who are we going to call? I mean, John is my father in the faith, but I don't have him on speed dial. He's not going to pick up a call from Ann Bradley because she had a tragedy. So we jumped right back into Join Heirs where we left off. And Join Heirs has been for us a family. They're the people that we come to when we have questions and sorrows and joys and all of the above. So I say all of that to encourage each one of you. Grace Church is fantastic, but you've got to really dig in and plant yourself in the lives of people. And Join Heirs is a great place to do it.
Yeah, so just don't introduce yourself and say, you're never going to see me again, so don't worry about it. Like, stick around, yeah, yeah. Who else? Yeah, over there, Gary.
Hi. Ann, thank you. That was a great story. I've heard that story before, too, so it's great. I want to tell you a story about just the longevity of Grace Church and just faithfulness. You know, that one song was talking about, you know, may we be found faithful. And spend the whole time, you know, here at Grace Church. Anyways, I was saved very young, also like Ann in high school, and started attending here in 1974, so a long time ago. And after a few years, got involved in a ministry, and it was the junior high kids. So much fun. And so involved in that, but I walked into the junior high room with a good friend of mine, and I thought, okay, this is kind of a crazy room, and there was just kids running all over the place. You know how junior high kids are. And a group of junior high kids came running up to me. I guess they knew I was new because I was like, you know, I didn't know what was going on. And they said, hi, you know, you're Karen. Oh, we love you, and we want you to stay. And I'm thinking, how do they love me, and what does staying mean? What does this mean? But they wanted me to stay, and a couple of the people in that group were twins, a boy and a girl. They were twins. And it was like, oh, they were just very excited, enthusiastic, and da-da-da-da. So I stayed in junior high ministry for 7 years. And at the time, that was a long time to stay in junior high ministry. But now there are some people that have been there for 10, 15, 20 years, which is amazing. But anyways, and I'll make this very short. So as the years have gone on, I've seen some of the kids who I ministered to, some of the girls, you know, come and go and come and go. You hear little stories of some holding on to the faith and some not. But those two twins that I met that first time have remained faithful, and that's Cammy Scott and Chris Hamilton, our chairman of the Boulder Elders. And that just always gets me choked up when I think about, he was just a little junior high kid. But the Lord truly saved him, and not only saved him, but made him a wonderful man of God. And he has been faithful here the whole time and is now the leader of our Board of Elders. And I just think that's fantastic. And I thank the Lord, you know, that he gives us all ministries to be involved in. And like Ann says, it's like plant yourself. If you're not somebody over there, it's like your first time here, stay here. Just plant yourself. Santa Clarita, we've got a great Bible study, right, Ann? Come, plant yourself at our Bible study and grow here. And let us love you and love us back.
Wow, that's great. That's great, Karen. Any other stories? Yes? Well, you'll get a microphone here. Hang on.
By God's grace, I've been at Grace Community Church for a long time, also like some other people. And I remember when you saw in the bulletin a picture of the worship center being built. That was an unusual time in that we had so many people coming to Grace Community Church that John MacArthur started three worship services in the morning, and he was also handling the evening worship services too, until the worship center was completed. Oh, I remember Bert Michelson too, who's now with the Lord in heaven, and this building is amazing because when it was being built, you could see these beams going all the way across. We built, if I remember right at the time, the largest open space without any pillars. In L.A., there was a time when John was young, strong, and he made good use of his youth. Three services in the morning and one in the evening, that's a lot.
And I heard he played football games between the morning service and the evening service. He'd play it, yeah, I mean, he was an amazing guy. Yeah. I'm tired now. Thank you for sharing that. That's so great. So I think we all have to, I think what I'm getting out of this at least is we're all thankful, you know, and we're all thankful for the same reason, because God has done something in our lives through, you know, the church is not a building. You know, the church is, and that's why I said Roscoe Boulevard or the church at 1324. The church is a people. It's what he said this morning, HB, you know, we're participators in the gospel together, but we are a group of believers that identify with Christ here at 13248 Roscoe Boulevard. And that's what makes us the church. That is who we are. And so we're so thankful. I'm so thankful I see the missionaries who are still here. And I'm just so glad that everybody has come to also not just come for the sake that you come once a year to for the missionary, and I heard it was the best one yet. That's what I'm hearing, but just to also hear the fact that we have an affection for this place that goes beyond just attending on Sunday morning. We have an affection for this place because this is our friends. These are where our friends live, and this is the people who believe the same as we do, and who, when we're in trouble or if we're hurting, we go to. And it's not because we need someone to get us out of jail card. It's because you love each other, and you're family, and you really are. And Jesus says that this is the true family, the family of God. So we have a lot to be thankful for. And one of the things we have to be thankful for is lunch. So we get lunch. They said it's a gourmet sandwich. I don't know. Do you know what it is? What is it? Urbane Cafe.
Urbane Cafe.
Yeah. It's so good. So if you don't know Urbane Cafe, you're going to love it. Usually comes with a cookie, but I think we're going to have ice cream instead. Yeah? You don't know? Usually, no. What?
Yeah. I don't know about dessert. It was a surprise to me.
Yeah, so it's ice cream. Pretty good. Which, you know, I'm going to have double portion. And then and then you can just find them. They're all different places around the campus. So you'll see it. It's over by the seminary building. There's going to be one in front of the fountain and one in front of the seminary building also. So you'll see all the different stages and enjoy. And it's just so glad. I'm glad we did this. Yeah.
Before we go, I just want to encourage you guys. You know, one of the reasons why I chose Join Ears is because of the people. You know, it was always great to see how I can glean from saints who have gone through the stages that I'm going through, you know, of child rearing and all of that. I still feel like technically a young family. We've got our youngest one at 8 here. I just want to just remind you all, Galatians 6, don't grow weary. Keep going. And just like even HB was saying this morning, you know, we've got a lot of work ahead of us. We look behind us, we see all that God has done, but there's still some more work ahead of us. We don't know how long we'll be here. Some short season, some extended season. However long God has you here, there's a lot of work to be done. And the best gift that you could be to Grace Community Church, and John would remind us all about this every time, is our personal holiness, our walk with the Lord. That's how you could be a great gift to this church body. You're doing good before the Lord. Sanctified, growing in the faith, using your giftedness, that contributes to the work as a whole, because your life will be impacting others. So Join heirs. Don't grow weary. Do good, especially to the household of God. Keep at it. There's more work for us to do.
John, would you pray us out?
Sure. Gracious Father, as we come before you, united in heart and rejoicing over what you have done over the past 70 years, we realize this is not a result of what we have done. It's what you have done. And we want to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor for that. The literally thousands upon thousands of people that have come to Christ as a result of your one instrument here, which is Grace Community Church. And there were a number of us who, including almost all the elders, wondered what it was going to be like after you called your servant, John MacArthur, home. And I'm sure that that's true throughout most of our congregation as well. And we're living in that time period right now. And we are seeing that your church is going on. That what was established here was not artificial, it wasn't fake, it wasn't something that was temporary, but it's something that's well established. And just in the brief, it's not even been a full year yet that John's been there with you in heaven, we've added over 300 people in terms of membership. That's a whole new generation that's not even going to know John. And this generation now is going to be growing up in our church in this next stage of this ministry. You continue to bless us financially. You continue to bless us with numerous new visitors that come and be a part of our church. But Father, you have also given us such a solid foundation of people that have been here literally for decades and are still extremely faithful, persevering for you. And I pray that that will be true. I recall the church there at Philadelphia, there in Revelation chapter 2, where you commend the church primarily for their faithfulness and their perseverance. And I pray that that will be true. Whatever we say about Grace Community Church is nothing. But what you say about it is the thing that really counts. And I pray that we will be found like the Philadelphia church, persevering through thick and thin, through joys, great joys, and through difficulties as well. And Father, may the testimony or the light from this church not dim, but grow brighter for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for what is provided for us this afternoon, for the opportunity of fellowship. Please accept our thanks for what you have provided. In Christ's name, amen.